Welcome to Side Podcast. This is episode 44, Side Poddy Awards. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the last show for 2007.
Oh, does that mean we're taking a break?
No, not really. We did have a season review show planned, but that's going to merge with some shows early in January. And we were going to do a new show this week, but quite frankly, I can't face having to say anything else about McLaren.
And I don't blame you, but there's plenty to talk about on that subject, but next year.
Technically, you do get a couple of weeks off, what with it being Christmas and all, but it's not really a winter break. We're going to be sitting back, taking stock of what we've accomplished this year and what we intend to do next year. We'll still be blogging and all that stuff.
That doesn't sound much like a holiday, and it sounds very overblown and over the top. Have you been reading some Hollywood scripts recently?
Yeah, really. All we're going to do is let the weekly audio show take a break while we fix all the things that we've been saying we'll do all year and we're getting around to.
Why didn't you just say so in the first place?
Anyway, it's time to get on with the show.
Oh, shall I crack open the Red Bull for one last time?
Please do, yes. Was that it?
Yeah, it's a little can, but it's full of wonderful goodness.
Are we sponsored by Red Bull?
No, or something? I'm just addicted. Carry on.
Any self-respecting organisation has to have an award ceremony, and Side Podcast is no different. The Side Poddy Awards are about the year gone by, highlighting the winners and laughing at the losers. We're not just talking about Formula One, though. We're also taking a look at how we coped with the podcast phenomenon throughout the year. And a good place to start is with our first award, Best Start of the Year. Our first nomination, that would be myself. It's slightly embarrassing to look back on.
Oh, but I want to hear it. Play the clip.
Tune in to sidepodcast.com, your weekly F1 fix. Join me, Christine, as I guide you through all the happenings in the fast-paced world of Formula One. You might say I've gained in confidence just a tiny bit. You, on the other hand, sound exactly the same.
Do I? What was all that about? Tell me what happened there. Firstly, he makes an absolute mess of the racetrack by totaling his car into the water, and there's just shards of carbon fiber everywhere. I mean, who the hell's going to clean that up?
As geeky as ever.
Not changed a bit.
Another nomination for Best Start must be all my many, many intros.
Ah, I'm a fan of those. How do they go again?
Welcome to Side Podcast. Welcome to Side Podcast episode 28. This is Side Podcast episode... Hello and welcome to Side Podcast episode... This is Side Podcast episode 22 part 1, USA qualifying. Podcast episode 25, Britain GP special. GP special. Welcome to Side Podcast episode 39, beginning of the end. The final nominee in the running for the best start of the year is Lewis Hamilton for his rather spectacular debut start in Australia. Never seen anyone quite so aggressive right off the grid.
So let me get this straight. The nominees for the first category are you,
yeah,
me,
yeah,
you again,
yeah,
and Lewis Hamilton.
Absolutely.
We keep good company.
And the winner is Lewis Hamilton. Unfortunately, he can't be here to accept his award, but I imagine he would say, I'd like to thank Ron for the opportunity, my dad for travelling with me everywhere, my brother for being my inspiration, the team for being wonderful, Alonso for spurring me on to be better, my pet cat, my goldfish.
It's going to be a long show, isn't it?
Our second award is for Best Accent.
That has to be an award that's unique to Side Podcast.
We like to think of new and different things.
Best Accent?
Yeah.
Who are the nominees then?
Well, there was that time that I tried to do a French accent. There were a lot of rumours, but... What? It's French. Come on, French accent.
Oh, could you not? Just for
Fine.
Me.
Other accents in the running are Kimi's unintelligible Finnish mumbling, David Coulthard's Scottish twang, and Mark Blundell's Cockney banter. And the winner is Mark Blundell. Unfortunately, Mark's not here to accept his award, but I think he'd probably say, thanks very much, darling.
Brilliant.
Okay, our next award is Screw Up of the Year.
Oh, we are ripping through them today.
We're not talking people here, we're talking events. The nominees are McLaren's Hungarian qualifying.
Hi, this is Jason from Wakefield in the UK. Just thought I'd give my comments on the mess this weekend with Alonso and Hamilton. I think probably both drivers have been at fault this weekend. Stewart's were probably right to dock Alonso the 5 places.
The FIA's bungling release of hearing transcripts. The FIA transcripts were released and they had lots of juicy information in them, perhaps a little bit too much.
You reckon?
Because they gave the documents to the teams first so they could blank out any information they didn't want the general public to see. But then when they released the information to everybody, you could still find out the secret stuff.
You could copy and paste it and then just see everything within it, yeah.
The Fuji Grand Prix.
I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch 22 cars drive for 19 laps at half speed in single file.
You were definitely grumpy.
I was absolutely miserable. I make no bones about that. It was rubbish.
I think it's fair to say that we weren't upset at the rest of the race. That was really good, really exciting. But
absolutely not. Nope.
It was just those 20 laps, rubbish. And Goodwood's rubbish handling of Lewis Hamilton.
People turned into maniacs. It was pushing and shoving and elbowing, and kind of the stewards were trying to hold people back, and they were just getting flattened by these people who were just barging their way through. It was, I've never seen anything like it, really. It was kind of like Beckham was in the place. It was that kind of craziness, you know?
Is it a coincidence that you're just picking nominees for clips that we happen to have lying around?
And the winner is Goodwood. Unfortunately, Lord March isn't here to accept his award, but I bet he would say, thank you ever so, apologies and all that, tally ho.
All the stereotypes hurt.
It actually hurts. Our fourth award is for Best F1 Insight. I don't mean the Martin Brundle thing on ITV that is only brought out when they think people are watching. I'm talking about the person who is honest enough to tell us what's really going on. The nominees are ITV's Ted Kravitz. Flavio Briatore.
Flav News.
Seriously, stop with the news jingles. I don't like it anymore.
Oh, okay.
Pat Simmons on the Renault F1 podcast.
In conjunction with the FIA, I think we've looked at all sorts of things. Obviously, long life components. Reduction in sort of overheads, you know, number of people travelling to races, all this sort of thing. We've even looked at, should we regulate the process back at the factory? We've looked at, should we regulate the amount of time spent in wind tunnels?
And you?
And me?
Yes. You always think outside the box and come up with things I wouldn't even have contemplated. Sometimes I think you're reading too much into things, but then half the time you're right. And the winner is Ted Kravitz. Ted's not with us to accept this award, but if he was, he'd probably say something about tyre pressures or front wings.
Ambient temperature, all that kind of stuff.
We've come to the halfway point of the show. After this short break, we'll be awarding the Worst F1 Insight and the much-coveted Best Rookie of the Year award. Stay tuned. Hello everybody, I'm Christine and this is your F1 Minute from SciPodcast, a new weekday show capturing the top headlines in the F1 world and bundling them up in a nice 60-second package. You don't need to trawl through pages and pages of news sites, just tune into F1 Minute to hear everything you need to know. Expect important stories, driver quotes, all the latest rumours and of course championship updates. I'm not a fool, I know that there isn't F1 news every single day, especially not in the off-season, which is rapidly heading towards us. I won't let you down though, on slow news days you'll find me bringing you bite-sized snippets of history, Formula 1 statistics and figures, and maybe even driver birthday specials. Anything is possible, the F1 world is our oyster. For more details on this podcast, go to f1minute.com, where you'll find information about the show, transcripts for each episode, and links to the stories we're talking about. Welcome back. Only a few more awards to go now. Our next category is Argument of the Year. The nominees are Fernando Alonso for his argument with Massa after the European Grand Prix, Fernando Alonso for the argy-bargy with Hamilton after Hungary, Fernando Alonso for his discussions with Ron about the espionage emails, and Fernando Alonso for his argument with the door in the McLaren motorhome.
I see a pattern emerging there.
The winner is, rather unsurprisingly, Fernando Alonso. Unfortunately, he's not here to accept his award, but if he was, he'd probably say... The next award is for Worst F1 Insight. Earlier, we crowned Ted Kravitz as having the best inside knowledge and being willing to share it. Now let's decide who's the worst. The nominees are Murray Walker for his brave attempt to return to commentary. It was good. Yeah, he was very good, and I like his enthusiasm.
Yes.
Basically, I think that's what everyone has been saying. Damon Hill for his brave attempt at commentary. This year, they had Damon Hill. And, you know, you kind of expect a certain standard from a driver who should know what they're talking about.
Well, Martin Brundle does a pretty good job.
Exactly. Damon Hill, not so much.
He hopeless? Would that be a fair description?
I don't think that's harsh enough. James Allen, just because. And Ron Dennis for using words like discombobulation.
In a sentence.
The winner is James Allen. He's not here to accept this award, and we probably wouldn't let him in if he did try to come and get it. If he was here, he'd probably say, well, you see, there are three sessions and six people are knocked out of each. And so those times don't count towards the final qualifying session. And then it's the top 10 shootout. And then, no?
No.
Okay. Whilst we've already established that I've come a long way in the world of presenting, one thing I really have struggled with in this, my debut year, is people's names. Formula One is a global sport and thus features many international personalities. It's not always easy. Therefore, this next award is for best mispronounced name. The nominees are Kimi Räikkönen, Pat Simmons calls him Räikkönen on the Renault podcast regularly, Sebastian Vettel, David Croft calls him Fettel. Since when is it an F?
Every Sunday, Radio 5 Live.
Robert Kubica, for not knowing himself exactly what he wants his name to be. Kubica, Kubica, you'd think he'd have a preference.
You'd think he'd know by now.
And Tsutomu Tomita, because I got his name the wrong way round. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Tsutomu Tomita, who left as chief of Toyota. He is now the chairman of the Fuji Speedway circuit. But last time, I have to apologise, because last time I got his name the wrong way round.
That's easy to do for a team president.
Yeah.
You know, Dennis Ron, Briatore Flavio, always getting them the wrong way round.
And the winner is Tsutomu Tomita. He's not here to accept his award because he's off running the Fuji Speedway, but if he was, he would most likely say...
Thank you very much, Miss Blashford Christine.
It's been all about the beards this year. Anyone who's anyone is sporting a little bit of facial hair, no matter how embarrassing. I'm thankful not to be nominated in this award, and no one ever sees you, so you don't count
either.
Thanks
very much.
The nominees are Nick Heidfeld, otherwise known as the Yeti. He literally had a forest attached to his face. Jenson Button, otherwise known as Jenson Button, spent most of the year trying to hide behind his beard. Rubens Barrichello, who also wanted to hide. Driving that Honda must have been a rather stressful business. And Fernando Alonso, for when he tried to upset Ron with that beardy mess.
He upset everybody with that beardy mess.
The winner is Nick Heidfeld. He's not here to accept his award. Did we actually invite anyone?
No.
But he'd probably say, yeah, is this good?
Oh, God.
That will be a contender for next year's Best Accent Award. Our penultimate award is for the most repeated phrase of the year. As usual, we have four nominees. I'm one of them for this. Yeah, exactly. 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 Yeah, exactly.
I must be another for this. No, so it kind of flattered.
In round, you'd have to kind of say walk.
And you kind of have to, you have your same kind of thing where you're in his own kind of organisation.
We also have Lewis Hamilton with for sure.
Ah, yes, for sure.
And Kimi Räikkönen for it's the same for everybody.
What's that?
It's the same for everybody.
Oh, but it is the same for everybody.
Yes.
Can I win this award?
I don't know. Can you?
Well, I haven't won anything yet.
Let's see. The winner is Kimi Räikkönen.
Oh! So close.
Unfortunately, Räikkönen can't be here to accept his award, but if he was here, he'd probably say, thanks very much, but I don't know why I've won.
It was the same for everybody.
Our final award is for Best Rookie in 2007. You know who all the nominees are, those brave souls that took their first steps into the highest ranks of motor racing, taking on the best in the business to prove their worth. Do you know what? I just can't read this.
Oh, okay, I'll do it. This man's year started off pretty badly, clouting a wall early on in pre-season testing, causing many, us included, to speculate if he wasn't making the jump too soon. He immediately put those fears to rest though, making amends and then some during the first race of the year. His momentum continued throughout the season, eventually netting the debutant his first race win. Superlatives ran dry far sooner than the results did, and even his fiercest competitors had to admit that by the time the season had come to a close, he had had a fantastic year. Which is why the Side Podcast Rookie of the Year Award, predictably, goes to a man who really needs no further introduction. A true racing legend the world over, Mr. Juan Pablo Montoya.
What? He's not even in Formula One. That's ridiculous.
He used to be.
You've just ruined the entire award show. We've been building up to this great award at the end, and you've given it to a NASCAR driver.
Well, he had a good year.
Ugh.
It's all true.
Rubbish.
Ah, he's my rookie of the year.
Well, that brings our award ceremony to an abrupt close for 2007. Hopefully you have enjoyed this year with us. We certainly have enjoyed sharing it with you.
Oh, but before we go, actually, can I just throw in a little curveball just before we leave? I just wanted to ask you, what's been your favourite bit of the year?
The whole year? You want me to pick one bit out of the whole year?
Everything that we've done, you know, the racing, the Grand Prix, the Formula One, the podcasting, the things we've been to, the people we've met, the conversation we've had. Just pick something that, you know, sums up your year for you.
Okay, my favourite bit of the whole of 2007 was when Rubens Barrichello said goodbye to me.
Oh, you did kind of turn to a jelly, didn't you?
He's proper famous.
He's a proper racing driver. He just looked you right in the eye. He's about, what, 2 foot away?
I know, he said bye and then he went off on his scooter. He
smiled.
Yeah.
Oh. So that is your highlight of the year?
Yes. What about you?
Oh, well, the thing is, I mean, if we're talking about racing, can I have two, actually? Can I have a racing moment of the year? And can I have, like, a side podcast moment of the year? I cheat. Bend the rules a bit.
Go on, then.
Just like the
it's
late...
It's your game. You can change the rules how you want.
Just like the great Michael Schumacher would. Talking of the man, my favourite moment of this year was Razzcast Gate 2. You know, the Monaco incident where Kimi Räikkönen accidentally ended up in exactly the same position as Michael Schumacher did the previous year, to the millimetre, whilst Mr. Michael Schumacher watched on from the pits.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
Even Ernie Bernie, with his script writing skills, could not write that.
It's almost like Michael Schumacher, you want to forget this happened, but the world will not let you forget. If you're going to turn up to Monaco, it's going to happen all over again in the same red car. Oh, it was so good. And the other event I wanted to mention very quickly was that, as a non-racing event, was, you know, when we went to Silverstone and we were waiting at the back of the paddock?
Yes.
And all the drivers walked past.
Well, you say all. There was like three.
A number of drivers walked past and some people, you know, from within Formula One kind of signed a few things and walked on. And I just thought it summed up Formula One in a little microcosm, little kind of hermetically sealed bubble that is Formula One, because Jean Todt walked out, you know, frowning and miserable that he just won the race.
Absolutely.
And no smiling. Barry Walker walked out and, you know, and he signed some things, walked on. And then there was Adrian Newey, stereotypical designer, walked out with his briefcase, placed his briefcase down, signed a letter, picked it up. You know, that whole thing?
I remember.
That for me was probably the event of the year, because it just summed up everything about Formula One.
Well, it's like
in 10 minutes.
Everything you think about Formula One, that just proved it.
It was everything is true. Everything is true. Every single person acted exactly as you expect them to, and nobody broke any moulds. I loved it.
Okay, that's enough silliness. We're signing off for this year. It's been an absolute blast, and we'll be back in 2008 bigger and better.
Bye.